From listener-supported KTOO, welcome to Juno Afternoon, broadcasting live from the homelands of the Occoquan and on demand as a podcast. It's Wednesday, January 7th, 2026. Happy New Year, Juno Afternoon is back. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. Gunath Cheesh, Hawa, Toksik Nusum, Salamat. Thank you for joining the conversation. You can also join us on our live stream on YouTube at ktoo.org/JPMLive. Or on KTOO's Instagram and Facebook pages. Today, a unique art show, Simple Loving Kindness, is coming to Juno in March. It's based on meditation and the inspiration that comes from that, and submissions are open. We'll learn about the process and how you can get involved. Juno Audubon has had to cancel their presentation set for tomorrow, January 8th, but Brenda Wright will still join us to share what to watch out for and what's next. And Linda Kruger from the Juno Commission on Aging has some important information to share about the AARP Community Challenge Grant, now open for submissions. Those conversations are coming up this hour on Juno Afternoon. And stay tuned after Juno Afternoon. The city, along with Tlingit and Haida, the National Weather Service, and State Department of Transportation, is holding a press briefing at 4 p.m. today to share information about the recent disaster declaration and state assistance, avalanche risk, and the upcoming atmospheric river. City officials say representatives from the State of Alaska Emergency Operations Center will be at the briefing. Other presenters will include Ryan O'Shaughnessy with the City and Borough of Juneau Emergency Programs, Nicole Farron with the National Weather Service, Tlingit and Haida's Public Safety Manager Sabrina Gubritz, and a representative from the Alaska Department of Transportation and Public Facilities. In their press release, the city says that incoming heavy rain and warmer weather later this week could raise risks of avalanches and landslides on top of the snowpack from our recent historic storms. You can stay tuned into here on KTOO at 4 p.m. to hear the press briefing live, or you can go to ktoo.org to watch a live stream. That is happening today at 4. Right now, though, Juno Afternoon, right here on KTOO. Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Alaska Airlines Club 49. Membership information available at club49hub.com.
Been sitting here lately, lost inside my dreams. Promise of your return when winter turns to spring. When the sun starts to shine and the tide flats are supreme. In the warmer days when the salmon migrate up the stream. My love is real, my love is fine. Flows like a river deep inside my mind. Summer's light on the tarmac and her nesting, and the wild geese are in flight. In search of the Northland, they've come home once again. But you know they're gonna leave us on that first cold winter's wind. My love is real, love is fine. Flows like a river deep inside my mind.
A little Buddy Tabor to kick off the new year. Love song for Alaska. Oh yeah, he talks about spring coming, getting out of this winter, Wouldn't that be so nice? You are listening to community-supported Juno Afternoon on KTOO at 104.3 Juno, 91.7 Juno Auk Bay, and online at ktoo.org. You can also join us on our live stream on KTOO's YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram pages. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. Some folks may say that art is meditation, and others say meditation is an art. And now the two are being intertwined into a new exhibit that's coming to the Juno Arts and Humanities Council in March called Simple Loving Kindness. So why are we talking about this here in early January? Well, you can be a part of it. Submissions for it are due in mid-February, and it's an art form and it's meditation. And I'm joined now to talk about both of these things by Nancy Karakand, who joins us virtually, and Darcy Lockhart, who's here in the studio, to tell us a little bit more about it. So Gunath Chi, Shatyadi, thank you so much. It's a pleasure to have you both with us. Wasiyati, Nancy, how are you?
I'm good. It's amazing to be talking to Juno. I haven't been to Juno in like 17 years, I think, and so it's wonderful to just anticipate, you know, coming to Juno and just connecting with so many dear people that I was, you know, connected with so many years ago.
Yeah, we'll get to that because you used to live here for many a year, and it's one reason you're bringing this new concept, this new way of working to Juno. And I want to say hi to Darcy here in the studio. Wasiyati, Darcy, how are you?
I am well.
Excellent. And so, Nancy, let's start with you in terms of the background of Simple Loving Kindness. I know that you did a show down where you are in like 2019. Tell us a little bit about how you came to doing that show and what it was all about.
Well, it actually started when I was in Juno. I was working, my first job in Juno was at the Aware Shelter. I was the women's program director there, and one of my coworkers, excuse me, I'm losing my voice.
It's all right. It happens.
One of my coworkers gave me a book, and it's called Healing into Life and Death. Actually, I have the book right here. Healing into Life and Death by Stephen Levine, and it's a whole series of meditations, healing meditations, and the first one is the Simple Loving Kindness Meditation, and I just always loved that one. So, I mean, so this goes back like 40-something years. And then I was in Juno for about 2.5 years, and I moved to Seattle for 4 years. And while I was there, I had a private practice. Well, I had a practice in Juno first, and then I had a private practice, a psychotherapy practice in Seattle. And I was doing a lot of work with trauma survivors, and so I had taken a group of women who I had been working with to see an exhibit which was done by sexual abuse survivors, and I was so moved by just the sort of the quality of the experience of going into the exhibit and seeing how it created such a sacred space for healing. And I kept thinking over the years, I thought, there's so many ways that you could use that concept of art as healing. And so over time, I don't know why, I just thought about those phrases of the Simple Loving Kindness Meditation. May I dwell in the heart. May my heart flower. May all beings be at peace. And I always thought, you know, they're so evocative and they're so visually evocative. And I thought, what if there was an exhibit based on those phrases? And I think that thought kind of simmered for years and years. And then about 3 years ago, I retired my clinical social work license and kind of cut back on my work hours. And I started thinking, you know, if there's ever a time to do this, it's now. And also because of what's been going on in the world, you know, what's been going on in our country politically. And I think that like so many like-minded people, I was feeling really a sense of powerlessness. Like, you know, I can go to protests, I can, you know, speak out here and there, but I felt like there was a need for something that would be calming and kind of restorative, not just for me, but for other people as well. So I started talking. I was a member of an art, kind of an art co-op down here on the Oregon coast. And I started talking to a couple of friends who were artist members. And I said, what do you think of this idea? And they loved it. And so we just started holding meditation sessions in preparation for doing an exhibit. We weren't even sure where we were going to do it at that point. But we have a wonderful arts nonprofit group in Astoria called Astoria Visual Arts. And it just seemed like the perfect place to have it, because the mission statement of all these arts nonprofits is to engage the community in the arts. Mm. You know, it's not about promoting, you know, the finest of the artists or anything like that. It's really engaging the community. And I love that concept. So so I put in a proposal to the Astoria Visual Arts Gallery Committee, and they accepted it. And they gave us March of this past year of 2025. And then I just started holding meditation sessions, and mostly through word of mouth, people started coming. I think late summer of 2025, we had our first in-person meditation session, and I think we had about 11 people there. And then it just started growing. People were asking, you know, can I come? Can I bring a friend? And so the exhibit was March of last year. We ended up with 30 participating artists. And there were about 60 pieces of work. It was very well received. It was a wonderful exhibit. It was just a joyful experience for all of us, I think. And so soon after that exhibit was completed, I started thinking, wow, you know, this could happen in other places. And then I thought about Juneau, and I was part of the arts community here. I'm primarily a beadwork artist. But I just kept thinking, wow, you know, what if we engage Juneau artists in this process and see what happens? And so right around that time, actually, I had started looking at the website for the JAC. And you know what happens when you're like looking at websites and then next thing you know, it's on your Facebook feed.
Of course. You know? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So the funny thing was, like a day or two later, there's an announcement on my Facebook feed. Hey, have you ever wanted to have your own gallery show? And I thought, there it is. So I applied for a spot on the JAC gallery calendar, and they gave me March of this 2026. So I think we launched our first meditation session mid-November, and we've been trying to do one every other week. Darcy is here to do the in-person meditations, although with the weather, and I'll let her speak to that, but it's been a challenge. But so far we have about 13 folks in Juneau who are interested in submitting work for the exhibit, and I think we've had about 7 or 8 people who have attended meditation sessions. And the next one is tomorrow afternoon. So
excellent. Well, and also, before we start talking to Darcy here, there is a website if you're interested in this, if you're an artist or if you want to make art and you're interested in this meditative process and how it's all working, you can go to slkart.org. It's all about the Juneau show. And there's a whole list of like submission guidelines. And it gives you a sample, and we'll talk about these in a little bit, but about the simple loving kindness phrases. And that's really, really kind of cool. But so Darcy, tell me how did you get involved in this process? Did you know Nancy and your background? You're also a therapist?
No.
Okay.
I've known Nancy for years.
I see.
She and I connected through our Healing Touch group. We both are Healing Touch practitioners.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. Then she moved away and... Yeah, she called me up and said, you got to do this for me because you're a meditator and an artist. So, So she just pulled me in.
When did meditation come into your life for
Oh,
you?
Gosh. Oh, gosh. I'd say 30, 40 years ago.
Mm. And how did that happen? How did that become part of your...
I think that it was a way of treating myself to... learning how to relax.
Mm.
And what I've realized over time is it's all about relaxing your mind instead of managing your mind, right?
Yeah.
Relaxing your mind. And then what happens is if you do it consistently, you actually build neural pathways that make it much easier.
Right. I need that. Yeah. I need that. Yeah. Because what I remember about meditation, tell me if I'm on the right track here, is because you're saying, you know, you say relax your mind, right? And a lot of people mm-hmm. say, what does that mean? You know, how do yeah. I do that? And it's like the person explained it to me one time was, you know, it's obviously it's about breathing, right? Mm-hmm. And getting in touch with your breath. And then as thoughts come into you, sort of letting those thoughts go
yeah.
and getting back to the breath again so that yeah. you can sort of find some sense of where you're just breathing and not really having a thought, right? Where you're just centered on that breath.
Or you have thoughts and you don't pay attention to them.
Oh, you don't? Oh, yeah. Or you put in phrases like these,
yes,
right? Which
exactly.
is another way to do it,
exactly.
which we'll get to that in a second. Yeah. So you've found over 30-some-odd years that it's really been helpful for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And has it impacted you? You said you're an artist, too, which I'm curious about. So how has the meditation impacted the art even before you were part of the Simple Loving Kindness?
I think I was an artist before I learned meditation.
Okay. Nice.
But I think the connection between art and meditation is sometimes when you're doing art, you forget what time it is. Mm. Things just go, you know, and that's a meditative state. You mm-hmm. have no clue, right? So they're kind of interconnected that way. Meditation kind of purposely puts you in that state,
mm.
right? Because you can do a lot of artwork and never get there,
mm-hmm.
you know. Yeah, so I find that one of the things that both of them do is connect me to my body.
Mm.
It's like this is where I have some modicum of control mm-hmm. about how I feel. And if I pay attention to that, then I'm in a different space. Right? And that space becomes expansive. Right? It's like, oh, I could go anywhere with my imagination. Right?
Mm.
And in meditation, sometimes you images come to you that you didn't even think about. They're just coming in, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's really, very exciting.
That's like, awesome. That's yeah. really cool. Now, Nancy said that you're going to be holding one of these in-person sessions tomorrow.
No, tomorrow is going to be on Zoom.
Oh, tomorrow's in Zoom. Okay, yeah. So not in person yet.
Yeah.
It's on Zoom tomorrow. And I think the best place for people to get more information is to email you, right, Nancy? That's the best place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is
so
the best place, yeah.
It's N Karakand. I'll spell this out for people. It's NKARACAND@gmail.com. It's NKARACAND@gmail.com. That is to sort of get the initial information. We're going to talk a little bit more about what's going to be part of this art show. But if you're interested in making art or you have art and you want to be part of this group, email Nancy and she can get you that information in terms of how. Or you can also go to the website, slkart.org. I think there's a link on there as well mm-hmm. that you can mm-hmm. send Nancy right. a contact page, slkart.org. So while we're talking about it, head over there and get yourself signed up for this. So this art show that's going to be happening in March, it's going to be at the Jack Gallery, right?
Right.
And
I wanted to say,
yeah, please.
I wanted to say a few words about the meditation itself, because the title of the exhibit is Simple Loving Kindness Art Inspired by Meditation. But my hope really was that it would be this specific meditation, the Simple Loving Kindness. And I want to read Stephen Levine's introduction to the meditation, because I feel like this really gets at the essence of what this is about.
Sure.
He says, as an example of the heart we all share, and the healing available to each of us, we begin these practices with a meditation on loving kindness. It is a fundamental practice for opening healing to ourselves, to our loved ones, to this world of suffering and joy in which we live. It is a meditation which, if experimented with for 10 or 15 minutes a day for a few weeks, has the potential for softening our lives and sending healing even to those very far away. So when I started developing the exhibit here in Astoria, I had this very kind of structured idea, because the meditation has three parts. The first part is to oneself. May I dwell in the heart. May I be free from suffering. May I be healed. And then the second part is to a loved one. May you dwell in your heart. May you be free from suffering. And the third part is to the world at large. May all beings be free from suffering. May all beings be healed. And so I had this idea that I would get people to like really do art based on the specific phrases. And then what I found is that you can't corral artists like that. You can't like, and one of the first artists who was involved, she was also a board member of the arts nonprofit. And she said, artists don't want to be controlled like that. And so I had to learn very quickly to let go of control, because I had a very structured idea. And then finally I just said, okay, you can be inspired by the whole meditation. You could be inspired by the narrative. Like there's a part where it says, as if you were your only child. Maybe that's what you would be inspired by. Or maybe you were inspired by some other meditation and somehow it fits with this one. So I kind of loosened up as we went along, and I just said, you know, if you're, people would contact me and say, well, I meditate already. Do I have to use that meditation? I said, no, you can use whatever meditation you want. So really it was, the intent really is that people create art from that space of, you know, an open heart, loving kindness, however you get there. And maybe you already created a piece of art and then you hear the meditation and you go, oh, wow, that fits perfectly, you know. Mm-hmm. Like we have our first submission for the Juno show, and I'm so excited. And if you go to the website, you'll see it on the Juno page. it's an injured trumpeter swan. And it's a photograph of an injured trumpeter swan, and her wings are just out wide, and she's on, I think she's on a frozen lake or on the snow or something. It's just fabulous, and I was so excited to see that image.
Oh, that's so cool.
Carrie Howard,
yeah, okay, yeah.
She's the photographer.
Yeah.
So anyway, Oh, and I was going to say about the website, that it's actually, it covers, it's like a one-stop resource for everything to do with these exhibits. So it covers, there's an Astoria page, there's a home page that kind of gives you the overview, there's a an Astoria page, and then there's a Juno page, and then there's links to articles. It's like everything that we've collected over all this time of doing the Astoria and exhibit and now going into the Juno exhibit, everything is there, and we'll just keep adding information as it comes along.
So these submissions that you're looking for, then are they still wanting to follow these guidelines that are on the website, or are you a little more open? Is that what you're saying? You're a little more open to what people might be have available, and if they're already using a meditation, and do you have to be a part of the meditation group, or you don't? As Darcy's shaking her head at me, it says no, you don't have to be part of that. You can be, to inspire you if you want to create new work, right?
Yep.
If you want to actually work in this simple loving kindness phrases. Nancy mentioned a couple of them. And one you said earlier, which I thought was really fun, which is, may my heart flower.
Mm-hmm. That's a favorite for so many of the artists, because they can just picture,
they
you know,
can picture
a heart
that,
with flowers.
Yeah. This one's challenging right here. May I know the joy of my own true nature. That would be a really...
That's the
Darcy
one
says
use.
That's the best. Oh, and Nancy says too. Why is it the best one, Darcy?
Because it's evidence that you're really connected to your inner core, yourself.
Ah.
And that's the part that you connect with other people through.
Interesting. Okay. And I noticed that some of them repeat in the sense that it's like, may you dwell in your heart. Is there the joy of my own true nature? Is there one in it later that also deals with that? Oh, I see. May all beings heal into their true nature. Okay.
Right.
That's really
right.
Fun. And these phrases are, available when you go to sltart.org. You can see the submission guidelines under the Juno page, and there's a PDF there that you can download, which, shows you all of these phrases that are available. And also, there is a meditation on there, a simple loving kindness meditation. It's a little long, but you can either, I'm not going to read it here on the air, but you can read it to yourself. You can have somebody read it to you. Is this what you use, Darcy,
yes,
when you're working in the sessions?
Exactly.
Okay. Exactly. I see.
And I have recordings of the meditation as well. In fact, I forgot to post those. That just reminded me, I forgot to post those on the website, but, we're going to make sure those are on there too, so that people, there's one with my voice, and then we have a local public radio personality who does a program called The Ship Report, And I approached her when we were doing the Astoria show, and I said, I love your voice. Would you read the meditation? And then we had somebody do music behind that. And so it's lovely. It's a little faster than we're used to for the meditations, but she's got such a wonderful radio voice that I had to have it.
Oh, that's excellent. So that way you could do it's almost self-guided in that way. But
you can
also do it with Darcy and get on these Zoom calls. Will you do some in-person ones too, Darcy, when the weather's a little better?
Yeah, so just to be clear, Nancy does the Zoom ones.
Okay.
And then there's one tomorrow. And then hopefully next week.
Hopefully.
I will do one in person.
Okay.
And the wonderful thing about meditation is it's so much more powerful when you do it with other people.
Yeah.
And doing it on Zoom doesn't matter. You still get that energy.
I was amazed that the first time we did a Zoom one here in Astoria, it was because the weather was terrible and people couldn't make it to the place where we were going to meet. And I said, well, let's try Zoom. And it worked beautifully. But I wanted to say also that the reason to attend the meditation, Zoom or in person, is not just so that you can get inspired to do art, but there's a camaraderie and a collaboration that builds among the artists. And our group here in Astoria has continued to meet. In fact, they're going to be joining our Zoom, two or three of them will join our Zoom meeting tomorrow. But they wanted to keep going after the exhibit was completed because they just loved meeting together. And there was a lot of collaborations. A couple of people did an interactive exhibit, and we're talking about that. I think Darcy and I've talked a little bit about maybe creating some sort of an interactive exhibit for the show.
That's really
part
cool.
Of it.
Well, this is going to be awesome. We'll look forward to this happening in March over at the Jack Gallery space. If you want to submit work, or if you want to find out more about how to be part of the meditation sessions, or just learn more about what this is and talk to Nancy, you can give her an email at nkaracand, nkaracand, @gmail.com. And that is also available at the website, which is slkart.org. That's the website where you can find out. You can see the exhibit from the previous show, and you can also then learn a little bit more about what's happening here in Juneau. Darcy Lockhart and Nancy Kerrican, thank you so much for coming and sharing about this. This is really inspiring.
You're most welcome. Goodness geez.
Yeah, goodness geez. It's a great way to kick off the new year and maybe to meditate our way out of this bad weather, Darcy.
Really?
That would be fantastic. But I really appreciate you joining Juneau Afternoon. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having us.
Absolutely. This is Juneau Afternoon on KTOO.
Hanson Gress. Ka eat with the shoe ye, we kashuk a ye tin. Jin kat ka ke jin ta khanakhaya ha anikak. Gunish cheesh.
Support comes from Juneau Compost, recycling the community's food scraps and yard debris into compost since 2017, serving households, businesses, offices, and more with curbside collection and drop-off options. Online at junocompost.com.
This is Bird Note. It's one of those clear, quiet winter mornings on the bay. The silence is broken by a series of loud, insistent calls. What's the source of this wild refrain? There, 100 yards out where the water deepens, is a small cluster of sea ducks, dressed mostly in white. They're long-tailed ducks, back for the winter from nesting far to the north. Long-tailed ducks are named for the male's plumage. Long, slender tail plumes extend almost a foot behind his body. Long-tailed ducks are far more vocal than most ducks, a feature that has earned them a host of charming nicknames. The name that probably comes closest to capturing the sound of the male's call is from the Cree language, Hahawe. This winter, along either coast or on the Great Lakes, listen for long-tailed ducks. By listening, you'll have an advantage, because they can be hard to spot. When they're feeding, long-tailed ducks spend a lot of time underwater, and they can dive as deep as 200 feet. Even so, you can get a good look at a long-tailed duck on our website, birdnote.org. I'm Michael Stein. This episode is dedicated to Dan Moore for his many years of board service and generous support of Bird Note.
Listening to Juno Afternoon from listener-supported KTOO, your public media station. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. I am joined now virtually by Brenda Wright. Let me make sure that we can get this one out of there so we can see Brenda good. Brenda, how are you? Good as cheese for being here.
I'm great. I'm so happy that I didn't slide down the street today.
For sure. Let me put it this way, there, like that. There we go. So we have Brenda from the Juno Audubon Society. Gwyneth Cheese for being here. First of all, unfortunately, tomorrow's bird talk had to be canceled. Tell us about the cancellation, Brenda.
Yeah, I was really looking forward to it as usual, but this was by Larry Spengler. And she was going to tell us about all her adventures in sailing around Southeast. And now that they're saying that we're having a possible winter, another rainstorm coming to us.
Yeah. So you were like, let's maybe hold off on that. It's something that hopefully she'll get back on the schedule for and do another time.
We are discussing that right at the moment. Yes. So we are hoping definitely, if not this spring, then next winter.
Okay, excellent. That sounds good. Now, I did pull up something we can preview a little bit of something that, let's go over here. Oh, now you probably won't be able to hear me if I do that.
Hang on. I did. I could hear you.
Oh, you could still hear me when I did this? Okay. So this is the one that will be coming in February. You want to tell us a little bit about that? Oh, hang on. There we go.
Some local people. Carrie Monagle and Kim Kiefer took this amazing journey to the Amazon and the Galapagos. And the title of their program is Fins, Fur, and Feathers of the Amazon and Galapagos. Carrie is an amazing photographer, and they are both very interesting travelers and talkers. So I'm very much looking forward to that, too.
Yeah, and that one will be happening February 12th at 6:30 p.m., so that'll be for next month. Maybe at the beginning of the month, I will have Carrie and Kim on here to talk a little bit about that, preview that one a little bit.
Yes.
And maybe the weather will be a little bit better, Brenda.
And you, I certainly hope so, because there's another really fun event happening almost at the exact same time in February. It's called the Great Backyard Bird Count.
Oh, I remember this. Yes, for sure.
Yep. And that's happening February 13th through the 16th. And you do not have to stay in your backyard. And you can go look anywhere as many times as you like, as long as you send in your information to eBird. Can I tell you a little bit about 2025?
Yeah, please. Or 2026 or 2025?
No, this is from the 29th one in 2025.
Oh, what we learned from that.
Let's
hear it.
Okay, we had 8,078 species reported. There's only about a little over 10,000 in the world. And we had 217 countries, 838,000 participants. Isn't that great?
Wow. This is on the eBird app itself?
No, you can go to GBBC, Great Backyard Bird Count, at Cornell and get all this information and free ways to ID birds, too.
Oh, wow. So, like, of the 10,000 species on those few days last year, more than 8,000 of them were seen. Is that what you're saying?
That's what I'm saying.
Wow.
People from all these different countries.
That's cool.
Only over 4 days. They just started this... just over 25 years ago. But the way the information is transmitted now electronically, they get all this wonderful information so quickly.
Was it a record, this amount of species being seen?
Yes, it was. It was over 100 more than the last one.
Wow, that's so cool. So that is, what's the best place for people to find, obviously probably Google it, right? You could put in your favorite search engine, Great Backyard Bird Count, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And we'll be putting some information on our Facebook page and our web page about it. So if you aren't familiar with eBird, it's really easy to get a free app to help you identify birds and then also tell people how many you saw and where.
Yeah, eBird's a great little app you can get on your iPhone or your Android phone or whatnot, on your smart device, basically. And you can, I love the ones that help you identify, right? Isn't there something like it can listen to what you're hearing and it can kind of tell you what that bird might be?
Exactly. That's the Merlin Bird ID. You can take a picture of a bird and it'll help you identify it. You can answer 5 questions and tell you where you live and it'll help you identify it that way. Or you can take a recording and it'll identify that.
Oh, that's cool. That's the Merlin app. Okay. So all kinds of apps to help the birders out there in the world.
And they're free.
And they're free, which is pretty good. And you can go to JunoAudubon.org anytime to find out about upcoming events and information on the various different things that Audubon is working on as well. Brenda, before I let you go, I wanted to ask you, with all this weather that's happening for us, how does that – I mean, I've seen a few of the ravens out there definitely doing their thing, trying to find some food and stuff. But is there other things that we could be looking for in all this weather, or are the birds all hiding away?
You know, that's a really great question, because there's a few places in Juneau that, at least for the geese and the ducks, they like to drink fresh water every day. And so with this kind of cold, there hasn't been very much available. So places like Fish Creek or the mouth of Mendenhall, or really steep torrents like Steep Creek, there where the water doesn't freeze up quite entirely, is a great place to keep looking for birds.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Yeah, and I just moved into a new place and I have a great window with wonderful trees outside and I'm seeing all kinds of cool birds. I haven't identified them yet, but I need to get my apps downloaded and find out, because there's some bigger ones that are, they're sort of black and they have like a little little mohawk kind of thing on their head. And they're kind of mid-sized bird. They're not too tiny. And then there's this other little bird, and my cat just loves this. It's like a new TV show for him.
Yeah, the window of an opportunity.
Yeah, exactly. That's so fun. Well, unfortunately, the Juno Audubon Society talk scheduled for tomorrow, which would have been January 8th, that is canceled, just to get the word out about that. But you can look forward to February, the cool event that's coming up with Kim and Kari. And that'll be happening on the 12th of February. We'll probably have them on later to talk about that a little bit more. And then also get yourselves ready for the Great Backyard Bird Count. Just put that in your favorite search engine. Go get your apps downloaded, eBird, Merlin, all the apps that you need. And then, of course, head over to JunoAudubon.org and keep tabs on what's going on over there in the bird watching world.
Thank you so much, Boston.
I really appreciate you coming on today, Brenda. Stay safe out there, and don't get flooded too much.
stay afloat.
stay afloat. That's right. Thank you so much, Brenda. Talk to you soon.
Later.
This is Juno Afternoon on KTOO. Let's listen to this week's Our Living Lands from Native Voice One after this message from Heritage Juno, Heritage Coffee.
Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juno with locally roasted coffee for over 40 years, with cafes and drive-through locations throughout Juno. More at heritagecoffee.com.
This is Our Living Lands, and I'm Antonia Gonzalez. Researchers from the University of Hawaii at Manoa are using Okinawan songs to learn about climate and geology. Justin Higa is a postdoctoral fellow and a traditional music practitioner. Our Living Lands producer Daniel Spalding spoke to Higa about the connections between climate, music, and culture.
Can you share about the research and what you've learned along the way?
Yeah, so I've been playing this genre of Ukuyu-an indigenous classical music for over 10 years. Our central art is Ukuyu-an classical music. So we play the three-stringed instrument called a sanshin. It's basically a lute with a snakeskin covering. But more important than playing is the singing. So working with my sensei, my teachers, we talked about how a lot of the songs that we sing in traditional Okinawa music, Ukuyu-an music, they talk about the natural world around us a lot, the environment. And we learned that a couple of the songs that we sing very often hold knowledge of the climate, ocean systems, and geology, and how people interacted with them hundreds of years ago.
Can you share a little bit about the songs and the significance behind them?
The two songs that we analyzed in this project are called Nubui Kuduchi and Kudai Kuduchi. Nubui just means going up, so basically the journey north from Okinawa to southern Japan, and Kudai means going down, so going south from southern Japan by boat back home to the Okinawan islands. And this song talks about when Ryukyuan or Okinawan envoys had to send tribute to southern Japan after they were taken over by Japan and basically became a vassal state of the Satsuma domain of southern Japan. So the songs talk about the prayers they made before going on the journey, tears shed with family because they knew it was a difficult voyage, leaving the port from the boats and the perfect winds from specific directions and times of year. Then you go into the open ocean, describing specific areas that were particularly rough, had very rough ocean currents. Then when you get closer to southern Japan, the volcanoes that were seen erupting, and then finally the joy at seeing land after making this very difficult journey away from home. And then the opposite is true coming back home, where it's a lot happier of a song. And there's a lot of celebration. They go through the same ocean conditions, but they are welcomed back home with open arms, and people are gathering at the port to see these people back home. So understanding how our ancestors interacted with climate and geology through these ocean voyages and relating it to science and observations, it's we hope that that can make our art relevant to life today and kind of a cool way to show people what we do.
What would you say the significance would be in this study, and why does it matter to, you know, us today?
It's been a real privilege to bring my culture and my background into the geoscience and the climate science that I do for a living, studying landslides and earthquakes and how that kind of stuff affects living people. And my sensei would express it in the opposite direction, where we want to expose more people to our art and revive what we have left because of the history of suppression of our culture in the past, and being able to bring that back in many different ways through performing, through science, through climate science work, show that both the science and the culture and the art are relevant and they're not separate. I think that's the main takeaway that we want to convey.
Tune in next week for more stories about how climate change affects tribal communities. I'm Antonia Gonzalez for Our Living Lands, a collaboration of Kiwanis Broadcast Corporation, Native Public Media, and the Mountain West News Bureau.
Native Voice 1, the Native American Radio Network.
And stick around to the top of the hour. The City and Borough of Juneau will hold a presentation at 4 p.m. today about the city's disaster declaration and ongoing avalanche risk. City and tribal staff will share information about the ongoing snowstorm response, and the National Weather Service will provide an update on the heavy rain expected to arrive later this week. You can tune in right here on KTO.org, or you can listen in on the radio at 104.3 or 91.7. You can also watch a live stream over on our website at KTO.org, starting right after Juno Afternoon at 4 p.m. We are here in Studio 2K at KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. I am joined now in the studio by Linda Krueger for our monthly segment on all things happening with the Juno Commission on Aging. And Linda also works with the AARP and today has some good information on the AARP Community Challenge Grant. How are you today, Linda?
I'm great, Boston. Thanks for having me. I'm glad I could make it in.
Of course. So you were telling me while we were waiting to come on air here about your morning meditation. We had some people on earlier in the show about meditation, and you heard something.
That's
today.
Right. This morning, as part of my regular morning routine, I was listening to my morning meditation, and as a closeout, they said, Set an intention. Today, I will look for something that makes my heart smile.
Mm.
And when I heard your speaker talking about noticing joy, I thought, well, that's what noticing joy is all about. Wow.
That's so perfect.
It was so perfect. Good. And I thought, yeah, and then if you can share it with others and brighten their day too, wow.
Yeah, well, win. Good. That's so good. And I know that we need a smile with all this the weather going on.
Absolutely.
And all that kind of stuff. And is there, I know before we get to the AARP Community Challenge Grant, is there things that people should be thinking about with the seniors in our community?
Well, I'm channeling Deb since she couldn't be here today.
Yeah.
And the first thing she would lead with is reach out to your neighbors and your other elders in the community, the older people that you know in the community. Check in with them, see if they need anything, see how they're doing. And just even if they don't, just that reaching out and that making a connection inspires them, gives them hope, helps them out, helps them have a good day and put some joy in their day, as well as you. You know, it causes endorphins in your brain to make you feel happy, too. So
yeah.
It's a win-win, too.
Yeah, for sure. Because I've seen posts on, like, the Community Collective about, you know, people needing to get to their appointments or
exactly.
get
it's
their
tough.
Medication or get even basic groceries. They may
yep.
have been trapped for a couple days.
Yep.
So yeah, check on your neighbors and maybe even grab a shovel and help them out a little bit.
Exactly. So many people that I've run into have talked about this is just like COVID when we were stuck in our house for days and weeks and whatever. And so people are feeling really hemmed in and cabin feverish and whatever. So even reaching out by phone or sending a text message or whatever you can to reach out, that's a great thing to do.
And of course, all things that you want to learn about the Juno Commission on Aging, you put into your favorite search engine, Juno Commission on Aging. It will take you to their page, and they have all kinds of information on there and other things besides what we're talking about here
Great.
On air. So that's good. But you have some cool news from the AARP.
I have cool news from AARP. And before I start on the Community Challenge Grant, I'm just going to keep people thinking ahead to the summer because we're already thinking about more walks to the libraries with Parks and Rec. That went over really big last year. And so people are like, well, let's do it again. We're planning a senior celebration in May for seniors in town. And so more about that later, but that's kind of in the works.
Okay.
And so just stay tuned for that. Yeah. So we're planning for the coming year.
Awesome. Yeah. 2026 is here.
It's here. We're going for it. Yeah. And so with 2026 being here, the AARP Community Challenge is on. And AARP is currently accepting applications for the 2026 funding cycle for projects that deliver tangible improvements to communities, such as benches. A few years ago, Sitka got some benches, and maybe bike lanes or housing designs or other public space enhancements. And they're projects that would leverage additional support from public, private, and philanthropic sources, help communities overcome policy barriers and implement lasting change, and foster new collaborations and increase community engagement. And so there are three distinct grant opportunities. One is called flagship grants, and those are for $10,000 to $12,000. And
Let's see. Those include public spaces. So that would be park benches and those kinds of things in public areas. Expanding transportation and mobility options like walkability, bikeability, and transit access. Increasing housing accessible and affordable housing choices, which we're also working on some of that in Juneau. Strengthening disaster resilience, which we're thinking about right now in Juneau. So working on that, if there are groups in the community who are thinking about helping people put together safety bags to be ready to go if they have to leave their house or that kind of thing. So that's the first, the flagship grants. Then there are capacity building micro grants, and these are $2,500 grants to help conduct walk audits or bike audits or disaster preparation. Again, training programs or putting together resources for residents. So some places, they actually buy things to put in little bags or boxes so that people have emergency, like emergency radio, those kinds of things that people can have. And so there's money available for that. And then the third one is demonstration grants. And these are much bigger. These are $10,000 to $20,000. And they look at improving the safety of streets and sidewalks. Housing design competitions. They did this last year in Anchorage, and some of the builders got together and designed different houses that would go in an area in the community so that people could see what it would be like to have accessible housing. And with the accessible bathroom and accessible doors and accessible entryways. And Deb and I have talked about this, I think, before on your show. So,
sure, because I know I remember you had a presentation about that.
We did. And so we're still working on that.
Yeah.
So these grants, the timeline is the grants just opened, and there'll be a Q&A webinar online on January 27th. And Boston's going to post the website where all this information can be found.
Yeah.
But January 27th, there's a Q&A webinar online. And then the application deadline is March 4th. And then you find out the applicants will be announced in May. People will be contacted and said, yay, you were awarded a grant. And then, the applicants are notified in May, and then the announcements are made June 24th. So the rest of us learn about it June 24th.
I see. Okay.
But then the key is that all the projects have to be completed by December 15th. So there's a deadline. So it has to be something that you know that you can complete by December 15th.
That's
the end.
And
so,
who can apply for these? Is it different people based on the different grants?
Any nonprofit organization that's recognized by the IRS, so a 501c3, 501c4, and 501c6, if you're one of those, a government entity. So any government entity could also apply. And the projects should align with AARP's mission to serve people 50 and older, although it can be for everybody in the community. They should be permanent physical community improvements or temporary demonstrations. Some communities do a temporary demonstration. So they put something up that's not – well, in Anchorage, they put in a temporary crosswalk from their senior center to senior housing, and the city liked it so well they made it permanent.
I see. Okay.
And so it can be a temporary demonstration that would lead to long-term change or a new innovative programming or pilot program to just test something out.
I see. So if you work at a nonprofit or you know somebody who works at a nonprofit, you could let them know about these grants from AARP.
Absolutely.
In terms of community projects. You already have me thinking like I tell my boss to do something here at KTOO because we could definitely use some accessibility improvements, I think.
Absolutely.
And what would that look like? What would that be? And so you've already got me sort of trying to think about that. Like, what would that be? Or what could we do in the neighborhood here that would be for the benefit of the whole community, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, I've talked about it on the show before, but one of the things, we have an elevator here.
Yeah.
But one of the things is, how do you get in the door, right? So that's the question is like,
there you go.
You know, those kinds of things.
Yep. Those are the kinds of projects we're looking for.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And so there's three different levels of project, the mini ones. And then there's some other ones that Linda just outlined. Again, I'll post this link on the web post for this episode. But you can also just put in your favorite search engine, AARP, Livable Communities Community Challenge. Anything like that, Community Challenge Great. Grant, yep. AARP, it'll probably come up. In terms of that, because AARP, of course, is a national organization and has all kinds of things that you could learn about AARP on their website, and then this one in particular for helping our community.
Exactly. Yeah, it's an amazing website if you haven't been there. So there's just all kinds of things. And, you know, Juno's gotten three of these grants in the past. The Thane community got money for community gardens.
Mm-hmm.
The Juno Ski Club got money for grooming equipment for cross-country skiing.
That's great.
And the Jensen Olsen Arboretum got money for their accessible trail. And
I love
so
it.
We've been good. Gustavus received a grant for exercise equipment for their senior exercise room. And Sitka last year got some park enhancement money for benches and different things in their park. And I think even pickleball park.
Oh,
pickleball
nice.
Pickleball courts. So, yeah, they got some good stuff last year in Sitka. So
excellent.
It's all over Southeast, not just Juneau.
Appreciate it. Appreciate you being here, Linda. Put in your favorite search engine, Juneau Commission on Aging, to learn more about everything that they're working on, or head over to AARP.org. I really appreciate you being here today. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Boston. It's great.
Here is this week's Thlinkit Word of the Week on Juneau Afternoon.
You're listening to KTOO's Thlinkit Word of the Week. This week's word comes from Kushtuk-U Bill Fawcett, and the word this week is Guakan.
Guakan.
That means deer. And here's a sentence. A deer is going to walk out on the point. Perhaps I'll see it. Let's hear it again.
Guakan.
Deer. Gunashchish to Khne Lance Twitchell, Gold Belt Heritage Foundation, and the University of Alaska Southeast for this audio.
Kushtuk o ish Bill Fawcett was Slukach Adi and the child of a southern Toshone man who passed away before Bill was born. His mother later married Tsihua Bill Fawcett, who helped raise Bill. He lived on Akkwan Ani and enjoyed working with advanced language learners, helping them answer difficult questions about the language.
And tune in next week for another Thlinkit Word of the Week from KTOO.
That will do it for today's Juneau Afternoon. Coming up next, the City and Borough of Juneau will hold a presentation at the top of the hour about the city's disaster declaration and ongoing avalanche risk. They'll do it along with Thlinkit and Haida, the National Weather Service, and the State Department of Transportation. They're going to share information about the recent declaration, avalanche risk, and the upcoming atmospheric river. City officials say representatives from the State of Alaska Emergency Operations Center will be at the briefing. Other presenters will include Ryan O'Shaughnessy with the City and Borough of Juneau Emergency Programs, Nicole Farron with the National Weather Service, Thlinkit and Haida's Public Safety Manager Sabrina Grubitz, and a representative from the Alaska Department of Transportation and Public Facilities. You can stay tuned right here on KTOO 104.3 and KAUK 91.7 right at 4 to hear that press briefing live, or you can go to KTOO.org to watch a live stream. On tomorrow's Juneau Afternoon, we'll chat with Spruce Root, Juneau Animal Rescue, and we'll preview the latest Death with Dessert. Juneau Afternoon airs Wednesday through Friday at 3 p.m. right here on KTOO Juneau 104.3 and KAUK Juneau Ak Bay 91.7. Hello, out the road. You can find the show online at ktoo.org/JuneauAfternoon. You can also find live stream archives on KTOO's YouTube page. Our theme music is by Indian Agent. Programming support for Juneau Afternoon comes from listeners and viewers like you. And Alaska Airlines Club 49, Hanson Gress, and Heritage Coffee Roasting Company. Juneau Afternoon is a project of the KTOO Arts and Culture team. I'm Boss Christopher, producer and host of the program, with help today from Aaron Tripp. Gunath Cheesh, and welcome 2026. Let's have a good one.